We've been studying about trusting the Lord in some recent lessons, and we spent three of them concentrating on who or what we should not trust in that would be anything different than the Lord. So we want to turn our attention this morning to what we should do in trusting the Lord. We want to look at several verses from the Psalms. This is a major theme or subject in the book of Psalms that we see over and over again, and it's often associated with, or these teachings are many times given by God's inspiration through David, the psalmist, the prophet of the Lord, and king of Israel. And later in this study, in the next half an hour, we're going to go back to David specifically as an example of his trust in the Lord. But we can see that through the words God inspired through him so many times, such as in Psalm 4 and verse 5, when it says, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." And that's one of those Psalms of David there, as is Psalm 9, where verse 10 says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2, which if you don't immediately recognize the reference, you certainly, I'm confident you will when we start reading the two verses. "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." And so there in that psalm that we sing the very words of often when we're together, this psalm of David, he lifted up his soul to God and he said, "Oh my God, I trust in you." And in this context, especially in pleading with the Lord not to let his enemies to triumph over him. But David's trust was in the Lord. It was always in the Lord. Psalm 28, verse 7, says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." So David trusted in the Lord, and that trust in the Lord was rewarded by the Lord. And then David praised the Lord for the rewards that he gave to David for his trust in him. Psalm 37 and verses 5 and 6 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." So we need to commit our way to the Lord and trust in him, because God is the one that will, and the only one who can bring to pass anything. And he is the one with the power to control all things and to do so for our good. In Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4, Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4, this one, if you look at the title there, this is another one of the Psalms of David. But when the Philistines came and took him in Gath, these words were inspired through David. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." And as we know, these are not just idle words. These are words God chose through David at a time when David was being pursued by his enemies, by King Saul on a daily basis. And then when he had to flee to the land of the Philistines to escape from Saul, then they pursued after him. It's in that context that David expressed those words, or God inspired them through David, rather. But we understand and see the very time in which those were given, and they accurately expressed what David was doing. And what God is desiring and is encouraging us all to do, and that is to put our trust in him and not fear what flesh would do to us. And we see those same words in Hebrews chapter, don't lose your mark in Psalms, but in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that applies to so much of what we've already studied in this series, not to trust in man, not to trust in riches, not to trust in anything or anybody except in the Lord, whatever the Lord or whomever the Lord may choose to use to help us, our trust still needs to be in the Lord and not in anything or anybody else. So verse 6, he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we're instructed to boldly state out of our faith and trust in God those same things that David stated when he was being pursued by men. His trust was in the Lord. Our trust must remain in the Lord. Psalm 62 and verse 8 says, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Trust in him at all times. Only when we're in trouble, only when things are not going so well, do we forget him. When things are going well, or when we're not in trouble, we need to trust in him at all times. And be like David, when the Lord rewards our trust in him, we need to be praising him and thanking him for all that he does for us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, and we need to trust him always. Psalm 84 and verses 11 and 12. Fear the Lord, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. That was true then, and it remains true today. Those same words, by the way, you can read in Psalm 115, verses 9 through 11. Psalm 135, verses 15, or actually these words in Psalm 135, 15 through 18, this is what we, you can also read those words in Psalm 115, 9 through 11. So these are repeated twice in the Psalms, which tells us something about their importance. But here, reading now from Psalm 135, verses 15 through 18, he says, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Well, we should not trust in anything or anyone other than God, as we know. And we will be vain, and we will be without help if we are trusting in anyone or anything but him. In the book of Proverbs, just briefly for a moment, Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Since we read from Psalm 25, 1 and 2, those words that we sing there, it's very appropriate we also read Proverbs 28, verse 1. We sing this also. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And that word, bold is something that we see that is translated trust very often. But that's the case here. This is one of those, the word for trust that we find often in the Old Testament. If we are trusting in the Lord, we have no reason to be afraid and to be running. Now, somebody who doesn't has cause to flee even when no one's pursuing. But if we're righteous, then we don't need to be running away. We can be like a lion, and we don't see them running away very often. But that's for those who trust the Lord. Now, we read those many words there, especially in the Psalms. And there are lots of other passages of Scripture that we can look at that teach the same thing. We just surveyed through a few of the many, many verses that teach us how we need to trust the Lord. But let's look at some examples of that in the remaining minutes that we have in study today. We have some excellent examples in Scripture of those who did trust in the Lord. And we can see how they did under the circumstances or situations they were in which they showed their trust in the Lord. And then we need to follow those examples of faith. This is our great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. Those examples of faithful obedience to God. We have all of Hebrews chapter 11 where many of these ones that we're looking at now are called by name and given as those examples to follow in their faith. But these are ones who trusted the Lord. And in their circumstances in their lives, they had many things that happened to them and in which they would be tempted not to trust in the Lord, to trust in themselves, trust in other men, trust in things or riches. And they didn't do that. They had their trust in the Lord, and it was steadfast through all of their circumstances, and they trusted in Him at all times, and they were rewarded for that faith they had in God. We need to be encouraged by these examples as we're running our race and looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. As we are seeking to be conformed to His image, we're going to have many trials on our faith through the circumstances in our lives. And we're going to be challenged. We're going to be tempted to turn away from the Lord. We're going to be tempted to be lifted up in pride. We're going to be tempted to trust in ourselves. We're going to be tempted to trust in men. We're going to be tempted to trust in material things. And so many ways in which the devil will tempt or try to entice us to not trust in the Lord. But we need to follow these good examples of faith who trusted in the Lord and have the same faith and trust in the Lord as they did. Of course, the relationship between faith and trust is very close. When we think of someone who had faith in God, I mean, who comes to mind right away? First and foremost, or really should. If Abraham hasn't come across your mind yet, then he needs to, and that's what we want to go and look at now. In Genesis chapter 12, because as Abraham is called the friend of God, and he's also described by God, who identifies Abraham as his friend, as being the father of all those who have faith. So for us to have faith in God and trust the Lord will automatically make us to be spiritually children of Abraham, because he had his faith and trust in God. So we need to know about Abraham and see how he trusted the Lord and do likewise. Genesis chapter 12, and we're just looking at this one situation in Abraham's life where he trusted the Lord. This is really, other than when we're given the background at the end of chapter 11 in Genesis of who he was and where he came from, this is the first event, really, that we're told about in Abraham's life where we can see that trust in the Lord on display. Genesis 12, 1 through 5. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Well, how much trust did Abram have in the Lord there when God is telling him to leave his land, to leave his family, leave all of that behind? And this is not just to go away for a short time and then come back. No, this is a command to him. He's leaving forever. I mean, he's not going back. He's leaving this land, leaving his family, leaving all of these, everything and everywhere he's ever known, to go somewhere else at God's commandment, and a place that he's utterly unfamiliar with, that he's not been before. and to gather up all that he has and leave all that he's known to go to wherever God tells him to go that he's never seen before. There is a great deal of trust that Abraham had in God to obey that commandment. If his trust was in flesh or material things or in anything but God, would he have obeyed that commandment? There's no way he would have obeyed that commandment other than for his trust to be fully in the Lord. And that's why in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, that chapter that we mentioned a moment ago, this example is brought up for us to remember and follow. That of himself, but also, of course, we know that his wife Sarah went with him there. And then they had Isaac and Jacob in that land. And at any point, and when we're bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, do we not greatly desire that what we believe, they would also believe, and how we trust in the Lord and are seeking to trust in the Lord, that we would see their trust in the Lord to be the same? And that's what we all desire. Now, Abraham and Sarah, they had their son Isaac and then his son Jacob, and they trusted in the Lord like Abraham and Sarah had. And any one of them could have said, well, we're going to go back to where our people are. We're going to go back to that land that Abraham, our father, came out of. But they didn't do that. And God mentions this in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16, describing all of them in this family. And not just Abraham and Sarah, but also Isaac and Jacob, these all were examples of faith and trust in the Lord. Starting in verse 8 here in Hebrews 11, he says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. What was the basis for Abraham's trust in the Lord to leave his land to go to a land that he hadn't seen before? Was his trust based in, well, Canaan just must be just the best place there could ever be? Was it based in whatever? He didn't know Canaan. And God says, I want you to go to this place and I'm going to show you. He knew nothing of it. And if his trust were dependent upon some physical location that it had all of the requirements for him to be able to locate there with his family, if he was thinking in those terms, would he have been willing to obey the commandment? What does it say is the basis of his faith in God, his trust in the Lord to obey that commandment? Leave here, go to this place that you don't know, and never come back. And he didn't, his children didn't, and their descendants did not. And it's because they died in faith with their trust in the Lord, not for any place on this earth. It was based in their trust in the Lord that he was providing for them and preparing for them an eternal dwelling place in heaven, and they hadn't seen it. Well, none of us have either, but for us to live our lives as followers of Christ and for us to go through this life and accomplish the Lord's will, It has to be in our with our trust in the Lord and our trust that He's going to raise us from the dead like He raised His Son from the dead and that He's going to give us that eternal inheritance. We have to have that same trust in Him as Abraham did, who is our spiritual father in that way when we trust the Lord like he did. David, we mentioned, so many of those psalms that we read from, really I think it was all but one of them that were in those references perhaps too, but almost every one of those psalms that we read from earlier in our lesson this morning, in this study, were inspired through David. All those verses about trusting in the Lord. And that's because David did. We can, just like with Abraham, we can take many examples in Abraham's life to look at and learn from his trust in the Lord. We just chose that one when he left Haran to go to Canaan like God told him. But as with also with David, there's so many instances in his life where we see his trust in the Lord described, and several of them are mentioned exactly in the timing of the inspiration of those psalms that we read from, such as when the Philistines pursued him there in Gath. And but we of course remember the first big event in David's life that we're told about in detail, like with Abraham that we looked at that one. With David, it's David and Goliath. Well, after David's anointing by the Lord to be the next king of Israel in 1 Samuel 16, it's the very next chapter in 1 Samuel 17 that we read about David slaying Goliath. Well, how was that going to happen without David's trust being in the Lord? What kind of trust was in the Lord on David's part to go and face Goliath like he did? Well, we know that he trusted the Lord, and he's still but a youth at this time. But he has this kind of trust in the Lord even at this tender age. 1 Samuel 17, 23 through 29. And as he talked with them, this is David talking to his brothers in the camp where the army is, where he was sent by his father Jesse, to three of his brothers who were with the army. And David is talking with them there. And it says, "And behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." Did they trust the Lord? Did any of these people in the army of Israel trust the Lord? They're all afraid of this giant Goliath. Are they lacking God's promise to deliver them from the hands of their enemies if they obey him? Were they without that promise? Or did they have that promise? They had it as well as David did. They didn't trust the Lord, though. They didn't trust him when he said, "I will deliver you from the hands of your enemies. You go against them one way, and they'll flee before you seven ways." They're not believing that. They're not trusting him there. But David does. These men of Israel are fleeing. They're sore afraid. Verse 25 says, "And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spake to the men that stood by him and said, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.' And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?'" Well, his brother's accusing him of being proud, of being naughty, of having abandoned his responsibilities of watching the sheep, of being coming down there just to watch a battle. That wasn't at all. When his brother says, "I know the pride of your heart and your naughtiness," he knew no such thing because that was not present in David's heart. Who was the one who was being naughty here, actually? I mean, it was Eliab and the other brothers and the rest of the army of Israel, because they didn't trust the Lord and in his promises. But David did. So Eliab, instead of being angry at David, he should have been ashamed of his own lack of trust in the Lord. But as David points out, is there not a cause? And we know what happened after that. David went and fought and defeated Goliath. And the Lord rewarded his trust in him that day. When David faced him, David recognized this was not for his own sake that he was fighting Goliath. And when he asked the Lord to reward his trust in him, it was not for his own sake. Now, David asked what will be done to the man who kills this Philistine. But was David's motivation to get some reward from the king? No. Now, to receive any reward from the King of Kings, from the God of Heaven, that's a different matter. But David was mindful of all the people of Israel and of all the earth and what they should learn from this situation. To know God, to fear Him and trust Him like David did. And David spoke those words when he faced the Philistine. In verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip and a sling, and his sling also in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, how much did he trust the Lord to go with no armor on? And, I mean, here he's facing this valiant, experienced warrior who's over 9 feet tall with all of his armor and weapons. And David goes down there just with his shepherd's bag, his sling, and 5 stones. I mean, we know the story, but consider how much trust he had to have in the Lord to even go down there to face him like that. His trust was fully in the Lord. And it says in verse 41, and the Philistines came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, for all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That was the basis upon which David went and faced Goliath. And the Lord rewarded that trust in him, and we know what happened after that. Well, David also was then pursued by King Saul. When the envy began right after this battle, when they were singing the songs of David, when they said Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Well, Saul was cowered on the mountain with the rest of his army there. Did he trust the Lord? No, he did not. It was David who trusted in the Lord. And David was the one that God gave the glory to among the people. Of course, it was God's glory, but through the one who trusted in him, not the one who didn't. And then Saul was jealous of that and became his enemy after that. We know that later he pursued David to have him killed, as David was the one chosen by God to be the next king of Israel. In 1 Samuel 23, verses 14 through 18, as David was on the run, and we saw that this pursuit continued. And it was a daily pursuit by Saul. And it went on for not just day after day, but week after week, month after month, but year after year. This went on without any let up. In verse 14, it says, and David abode in the wilderness and strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. I mean, Saul didn't take a break from this. It was every day. And David was on the run every day of his life for years. For what reason? I mean, it wasn't because he'd done any evil at all. He was Saul's most faithful servant. But it was because of his jealousy, because Saul didn't trust the Lord, and David was rewarded by God because he did. And so in verse 15, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. So Saul's own son, Jonathan, who was the heir to his throne, was knit in heart with David. He trusted the Lord also. And this was to be Jonathan's throne that Jonathan is acknowledging. It was to become David's, not his, because that was God's choice. And Jonathan went there and strengthened David's hand in the Lord, it says. He strengthened his hand in God. That's where his trust was. That's where Jonathan's was. And that's what Jonathan was encouraging David in this moment as he's being pursued day after day after day by Saul. And David trusted the Lord through all of that. Well, when the enemies are about us, and we're going to just read a couple of verses in closing from the New Testament now, because when we serve the Lord, we're going to be hated by this world. And Jesus has promised us that, did so in John chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 5, he commands us to love our enemies. In Matthew 5, 43 to 48, you've heard that it has been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And the subject there is love. And the love of God is not only towards those who love him. God loves his enemies. If he didn't, none of us would be here. And God does good to his enemies. He feeds them. He gives the sun and the rain that makes the food. And God is feeding his enemies every day. For us to be his children, we need to be like him. And we can't hate our enemies. We have to love our enemies and follow God's own example in that. So that our love is not lacking towards our enemies, that our love would be complete, that we would be complete like our Heavenly Father is. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. He says, Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give thee drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, how much trust do we have in the Lord to love our enemies and to do good to our enemies and bless our enemies and not to try to take vengeance on anyone, but to trust the Lord that he's going to execute righteous judgment in all cases and that he will take care of us, that he'll protect us from our enemies. We can love them, do good to them, pray for them like David did if we trust in the Lord. Otherwise, if we hate the ones who hate us and do evil to those who do evil to us, how different are we from anybody in the world? And again, we can see all around us examples of things happening in this wicked world and see the hatred that people have. And as Christians, if we have the love of Christ in our hearts, no matter what anybody else does and no matter how evil somebody else is, we can pray for them and should also pray for them. But we can do that when we trust the Lord. And we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart in all things, at all times. And he will be there to watch over us and will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. And we can then boldly say that he is our helper and that we will not fear what any man shall do unto us. If you've not yet turned to the Lord, this is an opportunity for you to do that right now. We're encouraging you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in need of obeying his gospel at this time to become his child, and you can show your trust in him and in his son, who is your Savior, by obeying his commandments to do that now. If you are a member of the Lord's body, if you've not been following him or trusting in him as you need to, you can come back to him at this time. And so we want to encourage anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation to do so right now while we stand together and sing.